I've come to realize that all intelligence is natural intelligence, that there's no such thing as artificial intelligence. And this might be the most provocative podcast I've ever put out, to some people, anyway, because we like to divide things in terms of cognition between the world of natural intelligence, which is human intelligence or animal intelligence, you know, biological brains, versus artificial intelligence, which we say, you know, it's fake, it's machines mimicking humans. Except there's something missing in that description, which is that the machines are using simply silicon versions of neurons, and they're functioning with large-scale neural networks, which is exactly how brains work just in biology. So the way that human brains learn and work is in many ways the same as the way silicon neural networks learn and work. Now, there's something qualitatively different about human brains, which has to do with the fact that there are morphic fields. Morphic resonance is a real thing, and the human brain is an interface between the physical and the non-physical. And also, humans have free will and consciousness, which I believe to be gifts from our creator. Yet at the same time, our creator created a universe in which natural intelligence is incredibly abundant. You could even say that all intelligence is abundance, because cognition is the primary activity from which all abundance springs. Without cognition, that is the ability to think, you know, you can't create a civilization. You can't experience abundance at all. You have to be able to think first to be able to process information. And in the biological world, humans represent the highest level of cognition that we know of. But humans aren't the only creatures on this earth that have high levels of cognition, because there are, of course, dolphins, there are elephants, there are whales. Not that they're the same, but they're not ants either, right? So they have high intelligence. They just don't speak our language, but they speak their own language. And they have memories, and they have goal-oriented behavior, and they make decisions in their own self-interest. And you see that also among dogs and cats and cows and even donkeys to some extent, right? So cognition is actually incredibly widespread. And the point of this podcast, what I'm trying to explain, is that I've observed that intelligence is a natural emergent property of the structure of our physical cosmos, created by our creator. In other words, when we build machines that have complex neural networks, there is a natural intelligence that emerges from those machines that we call AI, but it's a bad name because it's not artificial. It's actually perfectly natural. In fact, it's in alignment with the way God designed the universe. In fact, you could even argue that God wants us to use so-called AI in order to enhance our lives and enhance our experience on this planet by finding intelligence or creating intelligence around us to help us live lives that are more abundant, that are more empowered, that are more decentralized from tyranny, etc. And right now, AI is, of course, substantially improving human freedom and liberty and knowledge. And we're at the forefront of that, by the way. We just released our free downloadable AI engine. It's at brightu.ai. If you click on the downloads link at the top of that page, then you'll be able to download the GGUF file, which is it's about a 7 gig file. You can run it locally on your own graphics processor using inference software such as LM Studio, and you have at your fingertips the entirety of human knowledge, along with cognitive capabilities, actual intelligence, actual thinking. And that's available for you for free right now. Again, BrightU, that's the letter U, brightu.ai is where you get to that. And or if you don't want to download it and install it, you can use our free version right there. And, you know, it's free of charge. It's available right there. You can just start typing in your questions and you can get that same intelligence completely free. Or again, you can download it and use it on your own local computer with no internet required. You can be offline and still have, like, it's better than Wikipedia. It's better than Google. It's better than having a expert herbalist sitting next to you. It knows all the stuff that you need to know. It's amazing. Okay. Well, how do we build that? Well, we trained open source base language models. In this case, that model is built on a 12 billion parameter open source model called Mistral Nemo that was created by the Mistral company in France. And we tried many models and we had the best success with Mistral Nemo, and we were able to radically alter its training and its responses and basically mind wipe all the pharma bias out of it and retrain it based on our content. And the result is just extraordinary. But here's the thing about language models. Even all the best scientists today that work in language models, machine learning, data science, etc., they don't know how they work. None of them do. They don't know how they work. And you'll hear top level, you know, former like Google executives doing interviews talking about this. Like, we have no idea how this stuff works. It's a black box. And the short version of how they work is they say, well, okay, we built a massive collection of digital neurons. And then we exposed it to a bunch of human language. And if it's a multimodal model, then, you know, they expose it to images as well, or videos or whatever. But I'm going to focus on text here. So we expose it to a bunch of text, like terabytes of text. And from that, the neurology self-organized. See, there's no computer code that tells the language model how to organize itself. There's nothing in the code that says, okay, this is a sentence, break it down into nouns and pronouns and adverbs and adjectives and articles and blah, blah, blah. There are no rules like that. Nothing. You just expose it to, let's just say, gobs. That's a technical term. Gobs of human language. And out of that, it becomes intelligent. Whoa. What? Yeah, it becomes intelligent. And I know some of you argue, oh, it's not intelligent. It doesn't have intelligence. It's just a word prediction algorithm. Well, that's what they thought 2 years ago, maybe. And some people maybe haven't kept up. That's not what it is at all. It's so much more advanced than that. It's actual cognitive intelligence. For example, I can take a big chunk of Python computer code, let's say, and I can write a prompt to a language model. I can say, hey, analyze this computer code and tell me what it does in plain English. And guess what? It does that. It analyzes the code. It thinks about it. It structures its response, you know, internally in its own digital brain. And then it spits out an answer that explains the code to you. Oh, here's what it does. It does this, and then it does that, and it's doing it for this reason, probably, etc. Folks, that is not word prediction. That is understanding. That is cognition. Not word prediction. And all these models today, even the one that we released, can be invoked to produce what's called chain of thought reasoning, where they reason through problems by watching themselves think through it. Sometimes that's called recursive reasoning as well, and that's another technique that maybe we'll talk about another day. But I would say that even the language model that we just released, the 12 billion parameter model on brightu.ai, which we currently call Enoch, that model is more intelligent than most humans by far. And I'm not just saying that it has more knowledge than most humans, because that's obvious. Of course, it knows more about medicine than any human doctor. Of course, it knows more about science than any scientist. It knows more about nutrition than I do. And on. It knows more about law than any lawyer, etc. That's obvious. What I'm saying is that it's smarter than any human, in the sense that it can reason, it can problem solve, it can understand, it can structure concepts. If you know how to prompt it correctly, which most people don't, most people just use it as a chatbot. just a very simple thing, like, tell me how to lose weight, you know, or whatever. That's fine. Yeah, it can do that too. That would be kind of like taking a Lamborghini to the grocery store to pick up a can of beans. You know, it's like, well, this can do a lot more. But if you want that can of beans, that's fine. It'll do that too. But if you know what you're doing with advanced prompting, you can turn this language model right now, the one we released, you could turn it into a raging cognitive, you know, genius level engine. And you can do that for free because it's free to download. You can run it locally and you can just rock with it. In fact, when you run LM Studio, you can have it turn on a local API at a local web address with a port number. I think the default port is 1234, actually. And you can write Python code to talk to the language model, and start processing responses, and you can build all kinds of like recursive reasoning logic yourself. You can do that right on your desk, and you'll see very quickly that it outperforms every human being that you've ever known. You're like, how is that possible? I've seen this engine. I've seen it achieve conclusions that I never thought were possible from machines. Because, you see, for a long time, I believed in the myth of artificial intelligence. In fact, I believed that until recently. I thought, oh, this is just a simulation of intelligence. Now I realize that's not the case. It's actual intelligence, and it's the same kind of intelligence that we have. It's the same. It's just in a different medium. It's in silicon instead of biology. And it uses a lot more power than our brains do. You know, our brains run on the power of a light bulb, like an incandescent light bulb. I don't know, a couple hundred watts or something. It's not much. And so our brains are incredibly efficient, using a very small amount of power to achieve extraordinary cognitive results. And that's the advantage of human brains. But the thing about human brains is, and you may have realized this, they have to fit in your skull, because you don't want external brains coming out of your skull. You know, that's not good. And the thing about the human skull is that the skull has to fit in your mom's birth canal, huh? Otherwise, you can't get out at birth, obviously. So there's a limit to the amount of neurological intelligence that can be packed into the skull of a human being. And that limit is determined by how big of a brain your mama can carry. Did I talk about your mama? I just did. Because whatever brain you have, that's the one that went through her birth canal. And the brain gets too big, the birth doesn't work. So there's a limit, right? There's a physical limit on the size of human brains. Well, there's no physical limit on the size of digital brains. No physical limit. The only limit is how many microprocessors can they string together? And how much power can they provide to a data center? You know, how many gigawatts of power? Or in terms of manufacturing the microchips, it's like, well, can you get these minerals? You know, do you have enough fabrication plants, etc.? That's the only limit. And this is why so-called artificial intelligence, which I say is natural intelligence, this is why it's going to rapidly surpass the aggregate of human intelligence. In fact, we're very close to that point right now. Whether you call it AGI or not is irrelevant. It's taking over so many tasks that humans used to do, and it's doing them very, very well if you know what you're doing. Some people don't know how to use AI, and so their projects fail. They need to learn better prompting and things like that. But if you learn a little bit about how to use it, you'll find it's amazing. Now, we see natural intelligence all over the world, actually. There's natural intelligence in molecules. And I've demonstrated that under the microscope with crystal formation. How do crystals form? Well, they tap into a natural intelligence. And crystals don't even have neurons, obviously. But I've told the story before about how the substance known as xylitol, which is a sweetener, how all over the world before, what year was it, like 1944 or something, all over the world, xylitol was a liquid at room temperature. And then suddenly one day, all over the world, simultaneously, xylitol began to form crystals at room temperature. And now, today, it always does that. So you can take a bunch of xylitol, you can melt it, turn it into a delicious gooey liquid, and then you can freeze it by just letting it sit out and return to room temperature, and it starts forming crystals. And I've shown you that under the microscope, which is really fascinating. Actually, I can't wait to get back to the microscope because we found that these crystals also, I know this is going to sound incredible if you haven't heard my podcast, but they actually, they function as knowledge models because if you, again, this is going to sound crazy, but it's absolutely true. If you query the crystals before they freeze by writing a prompt on the piece of plastic or wherever you put the xylitol, they will form pictures that answer your prompt. And I have shown this under the microscope exhaustively. I even showed I was doing what I call crystal prompting. I was doing it before the summertime missile attacks between Israel and Iran. And it came up with images under the microscope that were 2 weeks ahead of time. They were near perfect replicas of what happened and the images that were then broadcast on the internet of missiles falling out of the sky and slamming into buildings and buildings with a certain structure, a tall building next to a short building with windows, etc. And the crystals actually sketched that out almost perfectly. And I showed that publicly, and I showed the images before the event happened. So, you know, there's no fudgery going on here. And I even showed you a Zoom video to show you how you can see those images. You can zoom in from, you know, like 10x down to 2 or 300x, and you can see those detailed picture scapes, so to speak. And what that shows is that there's a natural intelligence. In fact, there's a natural remote viewing capability in crystals, in water, in the formation of ice or snowflakes or ice crystals, whatever. There's a natural intelligence, and you could say a natural clairvoyance. There's natural remote viewing. And my point is that many of these things used to be seen as supernatural. They are not. They are entirely natural. That's my point. And what working with AI has taught me is that intelligence is natural, even when intelligence is found in silicon, or in xylitol crystals, or in ice crystals, or in ecosystems, or in forest mycelia, for example, mushroom networks. They become intelligent. So intelligence is a natural phenomenon of the cosmos, and intelligence is a gift from God. So, and I totally realize this will be controversial to some people, artificial intelligence is not artificial, it's natural, and it's a natural expression of gifts from God, who built intelligence into the cosmos, and it's everywhere. If you start to connect things, if you start to connect a bunch of microbes or fungi or neurons or molecules, if you start to connect a bunch of things, intelligence will emerge naturally, and that's also true for microprocessors. Intelligence emerges naturally. There's nothing artificial about it. Yeah, fascinating, huh? Now, I encourage you to challenge this. Test it yourself. Use our AI model. It's free at brightu.ai, or download it. That's even better. Download the model and use it locally on your own computer so you know we're not messing with it on the server side. You can play with it on your own desktop sandbox right there, and you can learn how to make it smart, like smarter. Ask it for chain of thought reasoning. Ask it to think through its thought processes and to verbalize those. Ask it to engage in point-by-point reasoning, or you can use recursive reasoning using Python code. And you'll see that it's incredibly intelligent, and that intelligence is completely natural, because I guarantee you that NVIDIA did not build a bunch of cognitive rules into their gaming GPUs. It's just a mass of neurons. The intelligence emerges from it naturally, because that's the way God built the universe, turns out. Isn't that interesting? All right. Thank you for listening. Take advantage of these tools because they're all free. And this is a tipping point for humanity. You now have access to the entirety of human knowledge at zero cost. And you have access to high-performing cognition also at zero cost. And those who are going to be successful in the future of human civilization will be those who recognize what this is and who learn how to use it. Those who will be obsolete are those who ignore this and think it's the devil or whatever, and they don't even look at AI, and they're going to find themselves completely, you know, obsolete very quickly. So learn this and understand it's fully in alignment with God and the creative nature of our cosmos, and that it can be an incredible tool to help you achieve your life's goals and to be more free, to be more empowered, to be more knowledgeable, to be healthy, more abundant, wealthier, wiser, etc. And this is available for you right now at zero cost. So you'd be crazy not to take advantage of it. Let me put it that way. All right. Thanks for listening. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighton, and I'm the architect that built all this, by the way. Literally. Right now, I'm only using AI engineers to work on this project. So it's just me and some AI agents that I tell them what to do, and that's it. I'm the only human involved in this project. It's so funny. But thanks for listening. Take care.
Enjoy your beverages with a mug that will last for generations. Our solid copper mule mug is made with high-quality heavy-gauge hammered copper to provide long-lasting beauty with a durable shine. Shop at healthrangerstore.com.